in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. They began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Acts chapter 2, 1-4. Famous words that we'll probably know really, really well. But words that we need to continuously hear, I believe, as Pentecostal believers in Jesus. Put your hand up, will you? If you've ever found yourself in a place where you felt overwhelmed. Have you ever felt overwhelmed with, it might be a situation, it might be with the things that you have to do. There are lots of different things, aren't there, that we can be overwhelmed by. Each day, perhaps, when we go through these seasons, can feel like a struggle. Perhaps you find it difficult for motivation. Perhaps you can't seem to make the decisions that need to be made. Perhaps you may feel alone or frustrated or scared. Maybe you find yourself disagreeing or arguing with loved ones because you just can't seem to find peace. You can't seem to find the straight and narrow to be able to feel peaceful. You just feel overwhelmed. And then you're not alone this morning in that. You'll think all of us have, at one time or another, felt overwhelmed. Particularly, we may have found that in the COVID season we went through. I certainly found instances then where it just felt, life felt overwhelming. The Bible tells us of a time when the disciples were overwhelmed. Isn't it encouraging when we know that there are other people who have been in exactly the same kind of boat as we have? Or is that just me? But it just encourages me when I know someone else has been in the boat. And the disciples were in a season of being overwhelmed. This Acts 2, verse 1-4 that we've just spoken about is the kind of the end product. But before that, if you flick back into the Gospels, the end of the Gospels, you find that the disciples have gone through an overwhelming experience. Jesus, their friend and their saviour, their rabbi, teacher, had been arrested for what they couldn't understand. And then he was put on a cross. And he was beaten, and he was put on a cross. He died, was put in a tomb. Everything that Jesus had said, it seemed like, felt like, that it was the end of an era. Overwhelming sense of loneliness. Overwhelming sense of fear, I'd imagine, as they would probably be thinking, is it me next? Is it me going to be next? And then 3 days later, that overwhelming sense of anguish was replaced with overwhelming and joy, overflowing joy, as they realized that Jesus was alive. And then, after Jesus had been with them for a while, was teaching them, he said, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you again, as it were. Disciples couldn't believe it. Again, they felt alone. Again, they felt overwhelmed. Probably the emotional roller coaster that they've been on in those last days. But then, it changed. It changed on the day of Pentecost. And it changed forever for them. It changed everything for them in regards to who they were and what they were called to do. It wasn't the end for the disciples. And it's not the end for us either, if you feel overwhelmed at any moment. Perhaps you're feeling that now, or perhaps you've just come out of a period of that. Perhaps there may be periods that will come up in the future. But remember, God will bring you through and out of these things. See, Jesus promised that although he was leaving, he was going to bring somebody to help them, to be alongside them. It's always good when there's more than one person, isn't there? When you're not doing it on your own. If you're married, you know, it's having a spouse is great. You know, if you've got friends, close friends, that's great that you can do life with. But here was someone who was going to be with them forever. So never again would this person that Jesus was going to give, never again would they be alone. Never again would they have to feel what they felt. Someone who helped them, empower them, give them hope, give them purpose, help them to live life in the overflow of God's presence. Jesus puts it this way in John 14, verse 15 to 17. It says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." This is Jesus saying to his disciples, you will know when the person comes. You will not be on your own again. This gift that Jesus gave to the disciples, this gift that is available for you and I today, is the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So you may ask this morning, you may just want to be reminded, who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is a person, a part of the Trinity, along with Jesus and the Father. The Holy Spirit appears all the way through the Bible and in different ways. So in the Old Testament, you have the Holy Spirit coming upon people for certain seasons and for certain moments to be able to achieve something. The first mention of the Holy Spirit is in Genesis chapter 1, when the Spirit hovered over the water. He was there, part of the creation. But other people that the Holy Spirit came to strengthen for a specific purpose, I don't know how to say his name properly, but I hope I get it right. But the Spirit came upon Bezalel, to help him craft the tabernacle in Exodus 31, verse 3. Holy Spirit came upon him to enable him to craft and to do the tabernacle in the way that God wanted him to. You'll know this one well. Samson. Spirit of God coming upon Samson on more than one occasion. But one of my favourite ones being that, how is it possible? We ripped apart a lion, didn't he? With the strength of the Spirit came upon him. And he was able to do great deeds. He was able to lead the Israelites. And then you have other people like Gideon and Daniel and others in the Old Testament. But it wasn't until we see Jesus was baptized that we see the perfect example of somebody who's indwelt with the Spirit. Where the Holy Spirit came upon him and at his baptism. Where he was anointed, being guided to go to certain places to perform miracles and point people to the Father. And this was the gift, the Holy Spirit being with, you know, Jesus and guiding and leading his ministry. This same Holy Spirit was to come upon the disciples at the right time. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord. John 14, verse 17 says, he lives in you and will be with you. He lives in you and will be with you. John chapter 14, verse 17. The promise of the Holy Spirit though, was not something that would happen straight away, but would be the one, but would be one that they would have to wait for. Luke 24, verse 29, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Second thing I want to ask you this morning is this. How are you waiting? How are you waiting for something to happen? Are you good at waiting? I guess the culture in the UK, we're meant to be good at queuing and waiting. But how are you at waiting? How are you waiting for something to happen, for something that's promised? I know my kids aren't great at waiting when it comes to Christmases and birthdays, and nor am I. They get it from me. It's that excitement of having the day when it comes and you get presents and you give presents.
Yeah. I'm waiting for a holiday again in Poland for physiotherapy and research.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's the thing, is that it's with the, you know, waiting is a hard thing. But my mum used to say to me, the good things come to those who wait. Did anybody ever say that to your parents or friends, say to you, good things come to those who wait? But we live in an instant generation, especially for my kids nowadays. You know, they want it instantly. Their birthday, they want it now. You know, if they could have their birthday every day, I think they probably would. You know, they want something, they don't want to have to wait. But the disciples, I'm sure, were kind of like, when Jesus said this to them, I reckon they probably had a couple of different things going through their minds. I'm just surmising it, what it might be. But when Jesus said it, you know, and he said, you have to wait. I think there'd be some of them that would be going, oh, really? Come on, do I have to wait? You know, there'd be others that were perhaps a little bit more patient with the waiting, thinking, well, you know, those good things will come to those who wait. I think there's probably a little bit of that in there somewhere as well. Especially when they had to wait for so long. How are we at waiting? You know, we can send text messages or emails instantly and get a reply. Years ago, you're more reliant on the postal service. We can video call someone on the other side of the world, but years ago, it was picking up a phone if we could afford it to ring the other side of the world. If you have the ability, you now have the ability to book a holiday just by a click of a button. Gone are those days when you had to actually go into a travel agent and actually sit down and kind of book your holiday, though you can still do that. But everything is so instant, isn't it? But we learn so much about ourselves when we wait, particularly when we wait on God for the things that we need. Because perhaps at times we can be difficult to wait because we think what we're waiting for perhaps won't happen. Perhaps we give up because we lose patience. Have you ever been there? When you've asked God for something, perhaps you've been waiting too long and you kind of given up a little. I don't know, maybe you haven't, maybe you have. But it's in the waiting, as we say, that we learn things about ourselves and we grow in our hunger and our desire for what we want. If you want to wait for God, your hunger and your desire will grow for God, and that will be fulfilling. But if you have a desire and a hunger for a Lamborghini, John, you know, that might well be a hunger to satisfy the urge to drive something, obviously. But that mind waiting, even waiting a very long time, if ever. But even if you were God, you could put anything on there that's not of God, that actually it's not going to give you what you need. Waiting for those things fill a void perhaps for a little bit. But the things of God fill the void all the time. And so waiting upon him, waiting for him, is a good thing to do. God wants to come and fill you with his presence. Did you realise that? That it's not a, you know, I'll do it if I can be bothered. You know, if you're good, I'll come and spend some time with you. But God says to us that he wants to fill us with his presence. Every day. What enabled, I think, the disciples to wait was because they perhaps needed to align themselves with what God wanted for them. I wonder how the disciples were feeling as they waited. They felt, I think we mentioned already, they probably could have felt a whole load of things. I wonder how you would have felt if you were in the same position. The disciples and followers of Jesus would gather together in one place, waiting for the gift that God promised. Waiting, expectant. Are you waiting and are you expecting for God to turn up for you today? I'm not going to read those verses again because I've read them at the beginning, but have them open if you like. It's understood from what I can gather that it was approximately around 10 days between Jesus ascending to heaven and the Holy Spirit coming. 10 days. Now you might say to me, 10 days, that's not very long. 10 days is not long to wait. I guarantee for those disciples, especially in the situation they were in, with the fact that the authorities didn't like them, 10 years probably felt like an eternity. 10 days probably felt like an eternity. Because when you want something, and when we're waiting for things, when we have to wait, the longer we have to wait, it does feel like an eternity. They've been waiting and waiting and waiting, questioning maybe, praying, talking, getting impatient. And then I love the verse, the beginning of the verse from Acts 2. The suddenly moment when God turns. And the beauty is that God turns up, he's always on time, he's never late or never early, he's just always on time. Suddenly for them everything changed. Have you ever had an experience when you've been waiting for God to answer a prayer and it feels like perhaps God's forgotten or is not listening and then suddenly it changes for you? Suddenly you get a phone call. Something changes. Suddenly some money flows through your door and everything changes because you can pay your bills. Suddenly something changes. The disciples were dynamically changed from the inside out. And if you want a tagline for today's sermon, it is this. Let me just get it. From overwhelmed to overflow. From overwhelmed to overflow. That's what happened with the disciples. They were overwhelmed. And they ended up being overflowing. With what? With the Holy Spirit. They were overwhelmed with grief, overwhelmed with frustration, overwhelmed with feeling blank. But then when the Holy Spirit came and the Spirit came upon them in power, they were overflowing with presence and power. Two polar opposites. God wants you to be a person who's not overwhelmed. He wants you to be a person who is filled, overflowing. The disciples were dynamically changed from the inside out. Not only did the Holy Spirit reside in the life of the disciples, but they were baptized in the Spirit. They went from being alone to having someone with them in their heart 24/7, being filled with the Spirit, verse 4. They spoke in other tongues, so they had gifts, other gifts that were given to them in verse 4. They went from being scared to being empowered and emboldened to spread the news of the gospel. Peter's speech, you can read that for yourself in verses 14 to 21. He stands up and gives a good sermon, encompassing the whole gospel to 3,000, well, more than 3,000 people, I'd imagine, but 3,000 people responded to the gospel message on that day alone. But it didn't stop there. The day of Pentecost was the springboard from where the early church was launched and the gospel spread all across the world through the disciples. And later, through Paul and Barnabas, and later as it goes through history, through famous people that have spread the gospel, even all the way up to today, where the gospel is preached and people find Jesus. Being filled with the Holy Spirit wasn't just a one-off experience for the disciples, but it happened repeatedly. Acts 4 verse 1 to 12 tells us Peter was filled with the Spirit when brought before the council to explain why he and John were preaching about Jesus in the temple. Spirit came upon them, and they were able to have wisdom and to boldly speak as the truth. Acts 4 verse 31 is another example. After a prayer meeting, all right, so come on, we're praying. And this happens. The meeting place shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. How amazing would that kind of thing be in our church here? For the building to shake and the Holy Spirit to come in power. Holy Spirit is not just for a select few, let me tell you that. We've looked at that previously, it said everybody who calls on the name of God, everybody who accepts Jesus will have the Holy Spirit in them. But the Holy Spirit as well is that it's for all of us, as I say, and we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter tells us in Acts 2 verse 38, each of you must repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is available for all, even today in 2022. Nothing has changed. It's God's desire that you be filled with the Spirit. Well, I think there's a couple of things that we need to just remind ourselves of. Or perhaps you might be hearing this for the first time. Firstly, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us when we accept Jesus. We've just said that. He comes to lead and guide. The same Holy Spirit who lived in Jesus, the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. That's a bit of a wow moment there. The same Holy Spirit who lived in Jesus when he did all the stuff he did on earth, and then who lived and then raised Jesus from the dead, which is probably like the most amazing miracle, what is the most amazing miracle? That same Holy Spirit lives in you. That blows my mind. I don't know about you, but it really does. Second thing we need to remind ourselves is that being baptized in the Spirit is a separate experience to the Spirit coming and residing in you. You know, you accept, we know the Holy Spirit is there. And the Holy Spirit is a guide, but we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's like a connection. It's like a turning on the taps internally inside of us. And it's about the Spirit empowering us. And you can only ever have one kind of baptism in the Spirit. Everything after that becomes an infilling of the Spirit. It's the first thing is the baptism in the Spirit, when you have an experience with God, perhaps like the disciples who speak in tongues, or perhaps you prophesy, or perhaps you have discernment, wisdom, or knowledge. But then every time after that, subsequent times, is about being infilled. Being filled. The baptism in the Spirit is our foundation block. All of us who know Jesus should regularly look to have a fresh infilling. Ephesians 5:18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Now the present tense, you probably know this already, because you're very clever people. But the present tense of the Greek in this verse actually means continually be filled with the Spirit. Continually. Not just one off. Why do we need to be filled continually? Because the things of this world, possessions, alcohol, money, sex, careers, will never give the fulfillment we crave. Problems come. And we can quite quickly, as we've said, become overwhelmed. But being filled with the Spirit gives us an ongoing fulfillment that is good, healthy, and life-changing. gives us courage and boldness to face the situations of life without allowing us to be overwhelmed and consumed. You do not need to be overwhelmed. I do not need to be overwhelmed. I do not have to live like that. I won't live like that. You won't live like that if we choose to have fresh infillings of God's Spirit. Romans 15 verse 13 puts it this way. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. When was the last time you were filled with the Spirit? Was it yesterday? Was it last week? Was it last month? Was it Pentecost Sunday last year? Or perhaps you can't even remember. If you haven't experienced a fresh infilling of the Spirit in a while, chances are you will be a little bit like this sponge. So this sponge is dry, stale, a bit manky. And this is not what God has for you, wants for you. You may feel far from God because you feel a bit stale. You may feel like he's not answering your prayers. You may feel like decisions are hard to make or life is just overwhelming. But it doesn't have to be that way. Did you know the sponge was designed to be in water? Do you know that? Designed to be in water. And I happen to have water here. What I prepared earlier. Now this might sound really weird on the audio, so I am just using water and a bucket. But the sponge was designed for water. It was designed to be used to clean things. It's the same in the same way you were designed, as it was designed to kind of soak up water and so it can do its job. You were designed to be filled with the Spirit. What's happening? It's been soaked up, hasn't it? And overflowing. I wish I had a bigger sponge, actually. But the point is that it goes in, and there's an overflow. When you're filled with the Spirit, you feel from the inside out. And there should be an overflow. Because the longer you spend in God's presence, if I just stick in that in there, which I will for the next couple of minutes, it's soaking up, and obviously doing its job, it's soaking up all the water. But if you want to have an impact on your world, you need to soak up the Holy Spirit. If you don't want to be overwhelmed, you need to suck up all that he has for you. So that when you take it out, and when you go about your day, you're being overflowing, not with water, but with his presence. Overflowing. That sponge represents, for you to use it, it represents us, and the water in the bucket represents the Holy Spirit. As you spend time in his presence, as you ask God to infill you afresh, what happens? Well, you absorb it, don't you, when you get filled up. And as we said, you begin to overflow. It overflows into your family. It overflows into your neighborhood. It overflows into your workplace. It overflows to everywhere where you go. But the reality is that with this sponge, if I took this sponge out, eventually this will dry. Eventually it will be stale and moldy in it and not fit for purpose. If you don't get him filled with the Spirit, you will be moist and you will be kind of dry. You don't die. What we need to do is continually spend time in God's presence, continually to be absorbing everything that God has got for us. A simple illustration, but one I hope, you know, kind of gets you to understand that if you don't want to be overwhelmed by the things of this world, you need to be in filled with the Spirit so He can overflow. He can, you get saturated by His presence, and the overflow then hits your world as well. Why wouldn't any of us want that? So what's stopping you? What stops me from doing it? Well, the only things that stop us being filled with the Holy Spirit, funnily enough, is us. Yes, it might take a little bit of waiting, but we are the ones that stop it. We're the ones who say, I'm too busy. We're the ones that say, God, I know you could do this, but actually I really need to do this. Well, I don't believe, God, you're going to do anything. I don't really want that for me. But the truth is that God wants you to be continually infilled. You don't have to wait for a special occasion. The invite is there every day. See, each experience with the Holy Spirit is transformative and unique. So why wouldn't we want that? So in conclusion, as we finish, there could be no replacement for the Holy Spirit. What He desires to do in our lives is so much more than we could ever hope to do on our own. A fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit is the answer we need for a life that can often feel overwhelming, with so many things vying for our attention, situations that continually get us down and cause us to run dry. But we don't have to get into that place. We have a daily invitation to be filled with the Spirit. The more we get infilled, the more content we will feel, the less overwhelmed we'll become, and the more power, insight, knowledge, wisdom, and discernment we will encounter to do everything that God has called us to do. Let's seek to not be overwhelmed, but to be overflowing with God's presence, His Spirit, fresh fillings every day, regularly, so that we won't become dry, we won't become stale, we won't become doubtful, but we'll be ready and we'll be living the life we want to.
Amen. Amen.